For us this morning, the title of my message is Empty Things for Empty Lives. Empty Things for Empty Lives. We've all suffered a feeling of emptiness or a feeling of loneliness in our lives at some point. Sometimes that comes even more stressful during the holiday season. When the world's out celebrating, some people are kind of lonely. Some people kind of feel empty inside. You know, there's a lot of situations that we all encounter that can make us feel empty. The loss of a loved one. The loss of a good friendship could cause us to feel empty. Could cause us to feel forsaken and forlorn. The indifference of others towards you. This is one for pastors. When the congregation doesn't do what the pastor is preaching. But I know there's people at work that you don't feel appreciated. People just don't feel appreciated. And you ask yourself, why am I doing this if no one appreciates what I'm doing? Folks, we can make people feel empty by being indifferent towards them. Getting stuck in a routine. You know, many of us will wake up in the morning, we'll go to work, and we'll come home, we'll eat supper, and we'll go to sleep. And after a period of time, that seems very humdrum, and you say, why am I doing this? And we lose our zeal for what we're doing, and we lose our zeal for our work. No, we can't do the same thing in school. Why do I have to go to college for 4 years? And then I get out of college, and then I don't even use my degree. What worth was that? You can feel empty about that. So lack of direction or a goal or just being routine can make us feel empty. No, spending our energy or investments in things that are only temporary. If you want to read a Bible book or a book of the Bible that talks about emptiness, go read Ecclesiastes. Solomon, the king, goes out and he experiments. He goes out and he tries all these things. He tries to find everything that brings him joy and everything that makes him drunk and all the wives and everything else. He tries to find pleasure in everything but God. And then he comes to a conclusion at the last chapter. He says, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Fear God. But in his early writing in Ecclesiastes, in chapter 2, verse 11, he says, then I looked on all the works that my hands have wrought. He built a great palace. He had ornated it with, adorned it with gold and precious stones and everything. He says, then I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I labored to do. And behold, all was vanity. Or emptiness. And vexation of spirit. See, emptiness is something that just doesn't affect us physically. It affects us emotionally. It affects us spiritually. Vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Have you ever felt that you do all this work and nothing comes out of it? We all are there. And then, you know, every Christmas now, I always want it to be special. And what I'm finding is that at the end, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. Or sometimes, just life itself drains us emotionally. And we just get to the end of it and say, is that it? And it's in those times we need to be thankful to God. You know those times that we're emotionally drained, though when I am weak, then he is strong. I don't feel empty about retiring. I'm glad I don't have to go to work out there at Lackland anymore. But folks, we all want our efforts to make difference. In Jude verse 22, it says, on some having compassion, making a difference. We all want to make a difference in people's lives. We all want our lives not to be empty. And so this morning I'm going to show three things that Christ made empty to fill our empty lives. The first one is an empty manger. You know, we just celebrated Christmas and you have the nativity scenes out. We have Christ in the manger. But you put the nativity scene up and Christ is still in the manger, and that's where the world sometimes wants to leave him. Herod didn't want him alive and killed all the newborns 2 years old and under out of Bethlehem and the surrounding region. You know, Christ left the manger to fill empty lives. The thing that we need to understand is the Bible even talks about that if you have an empty life, you don't put something good in its place, your end gets worse and worse as you go on. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 12 when Christ is instructing the crowds and his disciples. He says this. He says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none." But here's the problem of the man with the empty life. Here's the problem here. I'm doing religion. I'm doing this. I'm not adding anything godly or spiritual in my life. And this is what happens. I take something bad out and I don't put something good in. Look at verse 44. It says, "Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, the demon, back to the man, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished." See, we should have so much of God in our lives that we could never feel empty. We should have so much of God in our lives that we'd be spirit-filled that nothing else could come in. We can have the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. But look at this. You don't put something good in an empty life, it gets worse. Verse 45, "Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation." See, we just can't live empty lives. There's a lot of people out there thinking that they've got fulfilled lives, but in reality, they're empty. Any life without Christ is empty indeed. Amen. See, there's an empty manger to fill lives. Christ left the manger to fulfill God's will. If you read on in Luke chapter 2, which has got the Christmas story, but it's also got the early accounts of Christ, it talks about Christ going to the temple and his parents taking him when he was about 12 years old. And then they leave and they forget about him. How can you forget Jesus? How can you really forget Jesus? But they leave him. They go out a day's journey. They say, "Hey, he's not here." They go back and they find him teaching in the temple. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, it says, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" See, Jesus came to the manger to show that the world was rejecting him. He came to the manger because that was the humblest, most humble place that he could go to. But he's not there now. He's doing what his Father said to do. He says, "I'm about my Father's business." You know something? We have empty spiritual lives when we don't do the Father's business. And the more that we don't do, the more frustrated we get, the more empty we can become. See, Christ was not like that. We need to follow his example. In John chapter 4, verse 34, talking about the woman at the well, Christ sends his disciples off to get some food. Or they went off to get some food. Jesus didn't need it. He meets the woman at the well and he starts talking to her. He starts witnessing to her. The disciples came back and said, "They're talking to a Samaritan." And Jesus says this. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And those spiritual giants said, "What? Where do you get meat? We went to the store." Huh? What's he talking about? See, Christ was filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit too. Amen. You know, sometimes have you ever gotten involved in a job that it didn't, you just forgot supper and just kept on working? See, that's not an empty life. you're engrossed in what you're doing. John chapter 6, verse 38, Christ says this. He says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the what? The will of Him that sent me." See, empty lives have no purpose. Christ gives us purpose. The empty manger fills our lives. See, Christ left the manger to fill mankind's emptiness. Later on, there's another account of Him being in Nazareth and going to the synagogue. Luke chapter 4 records it. And He's in the synagogue and as His custom was, He picked up the book and He picked up the Torah and He started reading. In verse 16 it says, "And He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place that where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor.'" Some of us feel poor today. Christ's earthly ministry solved that problem. "He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted." You feel empty because of brokenheartedness? Busted relationships? God sent, came and left the manger to fix that. To preach deliverance to the captives. You see, you're blind, you have no direction. God gives you direction. "And the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Christ had to leave the manger. He had to grow up. He had to show that you could live a life powered by God. Amen. And when you live a life powered by God, it will not be empty.
Amen.
Folks, Christ wants to fill your emptiness. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew from thence, and great multitudes followed Him." You know why? Because they saw something in Him. But look at what the last part of this says. "And He healed them all." The one that came in the manger left the manger and lived a godly life to heal people. He's the same one that's available for healing today. He can take away your emptiness. See, Christ wants to fill your life. In John 10:10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have" what? "Life. A meaningful life. A purposeful life. And that they might have it" what? "More abundantly." See, we have a great high priest that's touched with everything that we go through. How do you think Christ felt when He was rejected in the garden? You think He felt emptiness? You think He felt loneliness in the wilderness when He was tempted by the devil? You think He felt sadness when everyone was indifferent to the message and no one listened? And the great crowds that were saying, "Hosanna in the highest," now cry out, "Crucify Him." See, Christ came to have an empty manger to fill our lives. Secondly, there's an empty cross to forgive lives. Maybe some are here today, and one way to feel empty is to be filled with guilt. Try to get rid of yourself. There's nothing you can do to make restitution. There's nothing way you could do to fix the problem that you're in. See, empty lives riddled with guilt is why there's an empty cross. I'll give you two examples of people who couldn't get it fixed. And were basically empty because they missed an opportunity. The first one was Esau. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17, we know the story. Esau was the firstborn. He should have had this. He didn't get the blessing because he despised it. The Bible talks about that. See, the point is that if you have an empty life and you don't do anything good to fill it, you get worse. If you have an empty life and you don't have any way to get rid of your sin, you're going to get into the root of bitterness. In verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. That temporary thing. For ye know how and afterward that he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. You can't undo what's done, but you can get forgiveness for it. Though he sought it carefully with tears. Maybe today you're struggling with some situation in your life that you tried everything you can do to fix it. And you can't get it fixed. Find God. There's an empty cross for that. There's an empty manger to fill your life. The second one was Judas. Here's one who was called by God. Even Christ knew he was going to betray him. He even knew that. But he had the ability to walk with God, do the things of God, be commissioned by God, do all those things, and he rejected God in the end. Acts chapter 1, verse 16 through 18 talks about, well, what are we going to do about this Judas thing, about replacing him? So Peter and John talk about this. As men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to him that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. But look at what happened. We know what Judas did. After he knew what he did when he betrayed Christ, he tried to give the money back. And the priest said, what's that to us? You made your decision. He had nowhere to turn. You know something? If he had sought Jesus, he would have gotten forgiveness. I'm sure of it. But he said, "Ah!" He threw the money down. He went out and he hung himself. You know, we talk about suicide. We talk about people taking their lives because there's emptiness out there. That's not in God's plan. Thoughts of suicide and thoughts of taking yourself out of here is not God's plan. That means you let your emptiness control you. It's not the way God wants it to be at all. He says, now this man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity. That's what the priest did. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing to live in the guilt of the emptiness of guilt. And not seek repentance. And just go your own way. See, Christ removes the guilt that we cannot. Christ removes the guilt that we cannot through His blood. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who, by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. See, if you're living in guilt today, you've done something you're ashamed of. God wants to forgive that. God wants to give you hope. He wants to give you beauty for ashes. Joy for the oil of oil mourning. The joy of gladness for the oil for mourning. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. There's no way that we can get rid of the guilt in our lives. As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you're empty today. You say, I have no direction in my life. You need God. I've done things in my life I'm ashamed of. You need God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful, just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, Christ removes the guilt that we cannot because of the empty cross. There's a lot of people that wear some symbols that have Him on the cross. He's not on the cross anymore. Because when He paid the price, He said, it is finished. And they took Him down and they buried Him. Because the penalty of sin is death. And Christ paid that on the cross. Amen. Through His blood. Secondly, Christ removes the guilt that we cannot to change our direction, to stop the cycle of guilt. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You know, Paul said that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of which I was chief. Paul was a murderer. He threw people in prison. He blasphemed God before, and God forgave him of all that. God can forgive you too. And you said, sir, my life is meaningless because of all the things I've done in my past. God will take that away from you today. He wants to give you His righteousness through His blood because He died on the cross for our sins. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, it says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that suffereth in the flesh has ceased from sin. You don't have to do it anymore. You don't have to live in it anymore. You don't have to be empty anymore. Christ is taking care of that. Galatians 5, 1 says this, stand fast therefore in the liberty. Well, and Christ has made us free. Ever paid off a mortgage? When you made that last payment and you owned the house, it was a sense of what? Freedom. You know, if you're listening to Dave Ramsey, all these people get out of debt, they're freedom, play the thing. It's such a relief. No, God wants to take away your sin debt. God wants to take away all the guilt out of your life. God doesn't want you to live defeated and empty. God wants to live you a full life. God wants to break the cycle of sin in your life. He wants to make you righteous. He wants to make you stand fast in liberty, in freedom, to serve Him, to have a purpose, wherein Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's all because of an empty thing, the cross. You want your life filled? There's an empty manger. You want your life forgiven? There's an empty cross. There's an empty tomb to foster hope. There's an empty tomb to find. You know, this year we have suffered loss in families due to COVID. And I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of preaching funerals and seeing people in hospital beds. And seeing the agony of families as they go through this. But you know something? For those who believe in Christ, there's hope.
Amen.
When there's the sense of loss and you can't go anywhere and you don't know which way to go and you don't, there's hope. Maybe you're going through busted relationships. Something you thought would never happen happened. There's hope. See, there's the emptiness that's brought about by loss. And two things that happen here that we have to deal with. The first one is hopelessness. In John chapter 11, if you want to turn over there. In John chapter 11, verses 14 through 16, it talks about Lazarus is sick. Jesus doesn't go when everybody says, well, he's sick, you need to go heal him. He doesn't go. And then Jesus tells his disciples, he says he sleeps. They say, hey, that's okay. No, he's dead. He's dead. Now, the disciples already know that Christ is going to Jerusalem. He's not coming out. He's going to get crucified. And so they're listening to what Christ is saying. And the disciples are going and they're mourning and they're thinking everything is hopeless. In verse 14 of John chapter 11, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. It's done. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Now look at this great model of faith here. Thomas. Thomas says this, "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." See, we can mourn a loss and let it kill us also. Now that wasn't going to happen. But sometimes we faint when we're confronted with a loss, or we're confronted with an impossible task, that there's no hope. Thomas had no hope here. Not only does the emptiness brought about by a loss bring hopelessness, it also brings helplessness. So, Jesus shows up at the house of Lazarus. Mary and Martha are there. And they're really happy to see Jesus. Well, not really. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." You know, we don't go on to give up things. We don't want to go through the emptiness. God knows that. He knows that. But see, Christ has the answer for that loss. Christ gives us hope through an empty tomb. See, there's an expectation when you have hope. And there's an expectation brought about by Christ's resurrection. You know, every other major religion in the world serves someone who's still dead and rotting in the ground. But we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
It was great earlier this week. One of our church members said, "I got this song in my head and I can't get it out. Yeah, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today." Great! Exactly the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
We're supposed to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs in our heart, making melody into our Lord. But see, we need to understand there's an empty tomb that fosters hope in the time of ultimate loss by belief in Christ. In John chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, we continue the story of Lazarus. And Christ is talking to Martha. And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He says, "Believest thou this?" And she says this. She says, she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." We call ourselves Christians and we should believe in this resurrection here, but why do we live empty lives? Why do we live lives? We can all be struggling with the same no hope that's out there in the world. That was the problem with the Thessalonican church. See, the expectation brought about by Christ's resurrection, by believing in Him, is going to be followed by a promise that we'll be with Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. And here's something if you're suffering through some sort of loss of relationship or loss of loved one. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." I'm not talking about sleeping people. We're talking about dead people. "That ye what? Sorrow not." See, when there's hope, there's no sorrow. "Or the sorrow be lessened. Even as others which have what?
No hope."
See, there's an empty tomb that we believe in. There's a resident Savior that we believe in. And it gives us hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," that's us, folks. And if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, you need to today.
Amen.
"Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Folks, it's the empty tomb that fosters hope. It takes away our hopelessness. It takes away our helplessness. It is fostered by a belief in Him and being in Him. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, is my last passage this morning. When we have emptiness in our lives, our heart's troubled. Don't know where to turn. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. See, Christ is getting ready to go to the cross. Everything that the disciples thought was going to happen their way is not happening their way. Everything that Jesus said was going to happen to him about him being crucified was going to happen, and it bothered them. And so he said this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What hope do we have? The present sufferings of this world cannot be compared to the glory that we'll have in eternity. Amen. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have hope.
Amen.
You shouldn't be empty. You can trust in Him. He's going to fill your life. He's going to take away your guilt. And He's going to foster hope in your life. Oh, folks, today, why be empty? Why be empty? Well, I choose to be. Make a better choice.
Amen.
Make Christ your choice. Follow Him. So here's a question. If you died today, would you go to heaven, or is that something you say you're still working on? If you say you're still working on it, you're not going. The Bible says, these things, if I have written unto you that believe in Jesus Christ, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Here's the issue. We're all sinners. We all have sin's guilt on us. Christ came and died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and He raised again the third day to show that He paid the sin debt for us, His death on the cross. He resurrected the third day to show that He has power over death and power over sin, and therefore the ability to give eternal life to us, because now He sits on the right hand of the Father. And all you have to do is say, Dear Jesus, a simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't get to heaven on my own. I know that You died on the cross for my sins. I know that You died and You rose again the third day. I ask You to forgive my sins and give me eternal life. That simple prayer will give you eternal life. If you've never done that before, do that today. Christian, why be empty? If we have all the promises of an empty manger and all the promises of an empty cross and all the promises of an empty tomb, why should we live empty lives? Why should we be like the packing of the box and the gift of the gift? We're the gift. We should live full lives. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, I ask that You be with this time of invitation. Father, I just ask that You just help anyone here, Lord, who does not know You, that they would say this simple prayer. And Father, leave here knowing that they're going to heaven. Father, for us as Christians, Lord, help us, Lord, to turn our emptiness over to You. Help us, Lord, to follow You with all of our heart. Take away our guilt. Take away our emptiness. Give us hope. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.